and welcome to the Old Moon Podcast, episode 76 this week. I am Blue Squadron, joined with my co-host, as always, Blonde Bear.
Hello, it's me, I'm Blonde Bear. Catch me at twitch.tv/BlondeBear, where I'm chilling and grinding it out.
Right on. And my boy Jaekoon, who looks a little bit different today, but that's okay.
I don't have anything set up right now. But hi, my name is Jaekoon VT. I've been enjoying the launch of PoE 2 recently, and I'm excited for the upcoming Calpheon Ball. You can find me over at twitch.tv/JaekoonVT, V before the T.
Right on. And we're going to be talking about a lot today, including PoE 2, which is on the docket, because it actually does have a lot to do with BDO. But the first thing we're going to do is, and we've talked, I feel like we talk about this every time, because this ball is the most important. I feel like it's the most important ball I've ever had, and I've been here since basically year two of the game's release in the West. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you guys feel like there's been a more important ball since you guys started playing the game, as far as like the player base is concerned and what's riding on it?
Not really. This one has been highly, 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 highly anticipated due to, you know, the recent events and whatnot. And so I hope it's good.
Yeah. Well, we all hope it's good. Blonde, can you remember a ball in recent? By the way, everybody loved your southern accent last time. They did. The comments were full of it.
Do it again.
I can't do it again. It's so
do a different
hard
accent this time. Can you do Scottish?
No, I'm terrible at accents. That's the only one that I can kind of do, sort of. I think when it comes to the balls, I think that when we're looking at ahead of time, based on everything that's happened so far, I think that right now, yeah, this one looks like it's the most important. I think after the fact, the one that was, I can't remember which year, but basically there was one ball where it was, I think it for Mountain of Eternal Winter 2 when it was announced. And there was like so many cool promises and so many cool things, and then none of it came, and we were like, oh, so this is just a hype fest. Because I feel like we felt like that from a few of the different balls that we've had, but that one felt like it was definitely like before it was like, oh, you know, they're just saying stuff and maybe some of it'll come true. And then like the one after that, I think, was really important because I can't remember which year it was, but it was the one year where they didn't just hype you up with a bunch of what ifs and scenarios of like things that could happen. It was like, I think like 80 or 90% of the stuff that they talked about basically did come to the game. And I think that one was one of the most important ones to be like, hey, like, okay, we're not going to just throw random spaghetti ideas against the wall and see what sticks and then see how hype you can get about it. We're going to like put out a bunch of stuff and like, you know, you're actually going to get this, and we have a timeline and stuff like that. And it's been over the last year, year and a half. I mean, obviously we don't get 100% of everything and there's stuff on the board to go, but I think that like before the ball, how important it is. I think that this one's probably the most pre-hyped, like everybody's kind of sitting on the edge of their seats. Like, okay, like what's going to happen? Are they going to do this or that, or are they just going to bomb it? You know,
I was going to add that, you know, when you were mentioning how that ball specifically you were talking about, I can't remember which one you're talking about. Maybe it was, you said it was the Eternal Winter one and whatnot.
I think it was because it was the summer was the one where they announced the Mountain of Eternal Winter. I think this was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was so crazy hyped because they showed like the ogres that had the spikes on their back. And we were thinking like it was going to be Olin's 2.0. This is post Odalita, right? And I think everybody was really, really hyped for it. And then like I was sitting in comms
and
Divius
came
a bunch out, of people.
And it was not.
And then it came out and this region was like Dragon 2.0, but worse. It was like Dragon 0.1. And it was like terrible. And it was just like,
especially after we got Odalita, which was like
the greatest expansion, the most successful one. It had everything. It had a spot for hands down. I think Odalita
was such a good discoverable region, and we didn't really discover very much in
no, it did not feel great at all.
We discovered it was not the best region.
Yeah, I think that post ball, the next one was really important because like it was like, oh man, like this one, you know, we've gotten a bunch of fests where they've been like, hey guys, it's gonna be so cool, and then we get nothing, and then this one, and then it actually happened. The one after that was like really important because it was like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff, and you're actually gonna get it. Here's a timeline, and we did get like a majority of that stuff. This one, however, different kind of vibe. Definitely feels like there's a little bit more on the line for some people.
This Heidel Ball 2024, right? Like they held it in actual Heidel, and they
talking
about what ifs. I feel like we got the most amount of what ifs this Heidel Ball, right? With the what if we could go back in time. Yeah, like remember we can go back in time and like, you know, Valenza used to be green and whatnot, and another what if of, you know, the 100 floor dungeon. I know.
Well, I think because it was the 10-year anniversary.
We're kind of anticipating. Go ahead.
I think that because it was the 10-year one, they're like, hey, guys, stay tuned for another 5 to 10 years. We got plenty of stuff planned out and stuff, concepts of ideas. I think that that's okay if you know it's like a concept. And I think that's how it was presented. At least that's how I absorbed it. It's like, oh, hey, here's the next two or so expansions. And then further on in the future, we're just going to revamp the whole map and you're going to get all kinds of cool stuff. I think that that I'm a little more okay with because they're on the front of it being like, hey, like, here's some concepts. Here's some concept art. We don't even have anything planned, but just to keep you enticed for the future. Versus, like, it felt like that Mountain of Eternal Winter 2 ball was like, guys, look at all this crazy cool stuff we're going to do. And then none of it came. And it was like, this sucks. This sucks a lot. And the one after that, we got, like, a majority of that content, and it actually felt good because it was timeline-based. So, I mean, I personally felt better. But I think that this ball is pretty important for a lot of people. Maybe not... It's really hard to say because it's like depending on the consequence of this ball, it's not going to determine whether or not I play or don't play. That's not going to change my vibe. Mm. But you're wanting to look at like your casual or your average player base and like or people that aren't playing and maybe want to return. But I don't know, man. There's too many games on the roster. I don't know. The cool thing about BDO is you can always sit on the back burner, come back in a year, and your gear is mostly relevant or will be converted into the relevant gear. I think that's one of the perks about BDO. And I think that's going to hold true. And it's okay. It's okay to...
And what's contributed to, you know, the longevity of the game, I think. Like, my, you know, me going forward, my progression right now, I've been taking a bit of a stint with BDO, but I know that, like, I'm still, like, my gear... Maybe it's because I played so much before that my gear is, like, continually being, you know, very, very relevant currently. I mean, we're progressing on Deposed Prince right now. We actually did so well our last session with Deposed Prince. Like, I didn't think we would get that far, but we did with our group. So I think we might be able to kill it, like, very, very soon. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'd be getting there. I actually think that... Blonde, you were talking about the last Calpheon Ball, right? And how they delivered on a bunch of stuff?
The last few... I feel like the last three... Maybe four, I can't recall exactly. I'd have to pull it up. The last three or four have been more promising than the previous ones. I think we've gotten more out of what they've said on the list than the prior 2 to 3 years before that. Because, I mean, I could just be wrong and it took way longer and, like, eventually we got it down the line. But within a reasonable amount of time, I think that a lot of the stuff announced came out. And then, like, it was, like, the last, like, 20% that they really haven't covered. But, I could go look it all up.
Yeah, I went through it line by line based on what they promised at the last Calpheon Ball, and I'd say they gave us about 50%. I made a video about it a couple weeks ago. I'd say they gave us about 50% of what they promised the ball. Remember, there was about 20 or 30 minutes where they talked all about guild stuff and how they were going to do, like, hashtags for guilds, and you could quantify yourself as a certain guild, like, type of
guild.
That
was the Heidel one this summer, right?
No, this was Calpheon Ball last year. You could qualify yourself as a different type of guild. And then there was also like, that was the first time we saw the dragon. That's not in the game. And then the guild missions, not in the game. Calamity 7, 8, and 9 are not in the game. There's kind of a lot that they kind of said that they were going to do that really hasn't been released, at this point. They gave an update at least for the dragon mount, which was completely different in the Heidel Ball this year. But, like, honestly, we're just probably gonna get another update on it. Like, poor console got a video recently that said, remember, they promised console that they were gonna get their next gen update in June of last year, and then, or June of this year. Apologies, June of this year. And then at the Heidel Ball, the console Discord had a mental meltdown because they only got talked about for a minute and 20 seconds or something. And it was basically Jay just telling them, hey, we'll have another update for you in December on that. And then they just released the update on it. And they said, definitely by June of this coming year, you'll have it. And I'm like, surely it will come. So, like, console, I think, is down tremendous at the moment. And then, like, as far as their delivery goes, I think that, yeah, they deliver on some stuff. They don't deliver on other stuff. But I think at the ball proper, they have to demonstrate that they're in touch with what the players want and they are moving in the direction that the players want to see the game moved in. Because if they don't, I do think that people are just going to start letting go of the game. I think at this point, we're in a position where a lot of players are playing other games, whether it be Throne of Liberty or Path of Exile or whatever. But they would be more than happy to come back to BDO, and they've been checking on BDO's progress over the last, you know, 6 months or so to see if, you know, maybe they could come back. And I think if the developers deliver on some of that, like, dire needed content or fix some of the issues that people have with the game, I think that people would be more than willing to come back. However, if the Calpheon Ball, which is supposed to be like a big, this is where they promise the stuff for the following year. The Heidel Ball is more of like an update of like, hey, this is where we're at on these projects, and here's like a couple new things that we're looking at, right? Like, so like the Calpheon Ball is like really this moment. So like people are going to let go, I think, if this ball goes poorly or does not present what people want. And I think that, yeah, I'd say it has about a 15% chance of success on that front, but we will see. I think that a lot of players are going to go. They're probably going to let go after this ball if it doesn't go the correct way. And I think that they have invested a tremendous amount into these hardcore servers that they think are going to be an absolute hit because they were a hit in WoW. But what they don't understand is why hardcore. They think that hardcore servers are going to fix PvP because they think that. I think that they genuinely believe that open world PvP will be fixed with hardcore servers. Like people will be suddenly be happy with it because of hardcore servers. And that is simply not the case. The way that they've designed them is going to, in my opinion, if it hasn't changed since what they have, because we've given them feedback on what we think hardcore servers should be and how it would be fun to do certain things with hardcore servers. If they continue down their path, like the boneheads that they are, because this is what they do. Right, they tease stuff at us, we give them feedback like, hey, this we'd like it introduced this way, and then they just do whatever they want anyway, because they just do whatever they want. They don't care about what the players think. But like, if they keep it the way that it is, I'm just predicting right now that hardcore servers will be one of the biggest disasters that they've ever released for PvP content. I think that it'll be popular right at the start, and then very quickly no one will play it, and then everyone will just move on, and that'll be it. But like, if they fix it and like they introduce hardcore servers and they're exactly what the players want, it does have a lot of potential. But like the way that they introduced it at the Heidel Ball, it does not seem that the hardcore servers are going to do a whole lot for the scene, which means they're going to have to talk about Node Wars. That's one thing that they desperately need to talk about is Node Wars. They need to talk about reworking open world PvP, whether it be through hardcore servers or a whole new system or what have you. And they need to talk about they need to address the progression system. I think in the game is one of the biggest things, because right now there's just no meaningful reason to get out there and grind, I think, for a lot of people, especially when you've got your competitors releasing new games like we have with PoE, which we're going to talk about in a bit here. I think that the ball could be a catastrophic failure for a lot of players, and we could just never see the player base recover. Alternatively, we could see everybody kind of come back, and it could be incredible. And I think that they are listening. I think that they are... Reason I think it has a 15% chance of success is that I think that they are 100% listening, and they are desperate because their money is down and everything. Yeah, sure, they just released in China, but like they know it, we know it, we all know it. If we're doing poorly, China will eventually follow suit. So like they need to make us happy, and if they don't, okay, well, players are just going to move on, and then they don't have a live service game that's really going to run long term. Otherwise, they just develop for China moving forward, which is... something I don't think that they want to do very much. So we will see. I think that they are desperate. Good.
I was just going to mention, do you think they'll announce anything about their other games, this Calpheon Ball? It's been a while since they've talked about, because there was that one Calpheon Ball where they just released or revealed like three different games. Like it was, I think it was Plan 8, Crimson Desert, Togavi, and we haven't heard much since. I mean, other than Crimson Desert.
Well, I talked to them. I don't think they released those at the ball. Because I talked to them at the Heidel Ball. I don't think so. I talked to them at the Heidel Ball, they said specifically they don't like putting other games with their like Black Desert balls because they want it focused on BDO. That's why like mobile has its own ball. Console doesn't get its own ball because they're a third world game.
Oh no. You know what
I
mean?
But like
I did notice they have started naming it BDO Festa, because this year's it's BDO Festa 2024.
It's not a ball
right?
anymore, yeah.
For the yeah, it's a Festa.
Yeah, it's a Festa. It's very interesting.
So to address some of your points, I think that in reference to console, I think console is like a gateway to PC. I think if you're still on console and you've been there for more than like months to a year, I think you're cooking yourself. I think you're kind of self-inting. I understand the concept of like letting console be like, oh, I can't afford a PC. Okay, but like 2, 3, 4 years later, I don't know. I feel like you should just be moving to PC. They've made more than enough catch-up mechanics and efforts, and they obviously aren't paying attention to console. If you're continuing to stay on console purposely, I feel like you're just self-inting. On one hand, I think it'd be cool if they were able to produce the content, but obviously they're not able to, and they haven't been able to keep up with it, and so I don't know why you would stay on console purposely. If it's unpurposely, then oh well, unlucky, but if you can move to PC, you just should at this point. So I think that, like, then not keeping up to date with, like, console stuff or being able to keep up is, like, guys, it's been, like, since it came out. It's kind of obvious. I don't know what you're waiting for, what you're thinking, but, like, I don't know. I feel like it's cool that the game can be on console. You just have to understand you'll always be behind and you'll never catch up or be close to what the current content is. And as long as you accept that, then fine. But if you're still complaining and still playing console, I feel like you're trolling yourself.
God, you know what I mean? You're such a doomer about like a console in general. I think that
I just say it's just the truth. They've promised time and time again, they've shown time and time again that they can't like do the content, can't keep up, and that's fine. If it's eternally behind, then that's fine. You just have to accept it. But if you're the kind of console player that's like, oh, we never get talked about, we never get anything, it's like, yeah, it's always been that way. What are you expecting? It's not going to change. You are not the one spending the big bucks. You are not a primary audience. You are not what they care about at all. So
we were for a long time.
And A&EU is,
yeah,
or are you saying console was?
Well, but you said it's like, oh, well, you're constantly complaining that you should just accept that you're behind. Well, NAEU are the primary shareholders, do have the primary like stock, right? Like we give them all of our money. It's like 60%, 65% of their company is run on NAEU's profits, right?
True.
And we complain that we're not caught up with Korea very frequently. So like,
but they've done stuff to catch us up, right? They literally changed the patch date so that we would get the global lab within the same week that we'd actually get the update, which I think is crazy because people still complain that, oh man, we're getting maintenance on this day. That messes up my whole plans. Bro, you're getting the thing you've asked for years. How are we still complaining about that? Are you trolling me? You're complaining that you're actually getting the content the week of and like, yeah. What? I couldn't believe some of the feedback I saw on that. I'm like, you're getting exactly what you asked for and you're still complaining. Like, what? Are you trolling?
Now say it in a country accent.
Well, there will always be.
Dadgummit! No.
There will always be people that complain no matter what happens.
Yeah,
that is going to happen. However,
I get that.
However, in this case, you know, we've lost 60% of our players in the last, you know, 8 months or so. Like, it started just before the Heidel Ball. And it really, for the most part, has not recovered yet. It's kind of stabilized because they fixed phishing and people are logging in. And I think that we have a bigger problem on our hands now because a lot of people did not want to go play. A lot of like normal PvE life skiller players and the BDO player base in general did not want to go play Throne and Liberty because like, oh, yeah, it's the devil game. We don't want to play it, or it's for PvPers, or it's just garbage. It's a mobile game, whatever complaint they had, right? But I think that Path of Exile is actually a much, much bigger issue for BDO, because you have an issue where the majority of Black Desert Online players are PvE focused players, are grind focused players, right? Progression focused players. And a brand new PoE 2 just came out. And I gotta say, it reminds me a lot of OG Black Desert, where you're grinding. Like you're playing that game for hours and hours and hours. And it's engaging. It's fun. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of the Black Desert community, they play BDO and Path of Exile. That's like what they do. I think that a large part of my community at least does that for sure. And I had never played PoE 1, but like now that I've started playing Path of Exile 2, I'm starting to understand why people why the two categories overlap so much is because I think PoE 2 threatens BDO more than TNL does, even though the players don't log out. Like Blonde said, you can put BDO on the back burner. These people will just go AFK fish. Right, while they're playing PoE 2 actively, but I'm still I still am of the opinion that still hurts BDO, right? Like the amount of active players playing BDO has declined. The AFK players, sure, there's a good amount of AFK players in the game right now, but I think that PoE 2 has been a bombshell hit for the Path of Exile, or like the ARPG community, and I think a lot of those players play BDO for the same reasons that they play PoE. Is that it's a grind, right? They're rewarded for it. There's progression, there's crafting. There's all kinds of stuff that you can do, right? There's customizations with your build. The build path is fun. And again, parts that you don't get in BDO, like build customization, are found in PoE. So like, do you guys feel the same way? Do you guys feel like your audiences and things like this, like play a lot of PoE, or that BDO players play a lot of PoE, or do you think it's not as big of an impact? Jay, I'll start with you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is very, I mean, the one of the main reasons why I played Black Desert is because of the action-based systems, right? Like, I love action type things, and the combat system in BDO, I think most of us still agree that it is the best in the MMORPG genre. Mm-hmm. And you know, PoE is also another action-based RPG. I mean, it's on a different front, right? The BDO is more of like a traditional sandbox type, whereas Path of Exile is more like, how would I describe it, kind of like Diablo 2 and stuff like that. It tickles a part of my brain that I really like it scratches that part. And as you mentioned before, like the customization option, that's what I've been missing a lot in BDO. I was compared to many different games like TNL recently, and Path of Exile, now Path of Exile 2. And I wish that there is some systems. I mean, I was mentioning last week about, could they possibly create that sort of like gameplay content loop that PoE does, where like every few months there's like, you know, a new system or a new content or whatnot. And you mentioned that, you know, that's it's probably not going to be able to be happening for BDO, which is a little bit sad. But yeah, I'm enjoying both, right? I'm enjoying PoE, I'm enjoying BDO, I'm enjoying many different games, I'm enjoying what I'm going to be enjoying at the moment. So
okay, but so you're enjoying it, sure. How much do you think that you, excluding AFK playtime, how much do you think you've played Throne and Liberty in the last week? How many hours do you think?
In the last week, probably maybe 70 hours of TNL in the last week.
Holy shit. Okay. All right. So 70 hours of TNL. And how much Path of Exile have you played since it came out 3 days ago?
Path of Exile. Not as much. Actually, let me look at my Steam here.
Or 4 days ago,
Path of Exile 2. Not that much. Only 32 hours.
Well, 32 hours, but it's half a week, right?
Yeah, half a week.
Basically the same amount.
Which has taken away from TNL, actually. So maybe minus those 32 hours from that 70.
Okay, so it's 70 total, 35 and 35. But like, you've been playing a lot more PoE because, you know, it's in a shorter frame of time.
It's a new fancy game, yeah.
And now, how much time have you spent actively playing BDO in the last 7 days?
In the last 7 days?
Yeah.
Well, we did a really long session the other day for boss splits.
Hold on, I object. Right? Is this not an unfair line of questioning?
What do you mean? Wait,
is
what
this
do you
not
mean?
An unfair How line of questioning oh. on a release week of a brand new game while also him maining
well,
almost another
in...
game over BDO right
well,
now?
That's why is I brought it... Throne and Liberty
I object,
in.
Your Honor.
In fairness, that's why I asked him about Throne and Liberty, because Throne and Liberty released 2.5 months ago now. So TNL released mm-hmm. about 2.5 months ago now, so that's why I asked him, because it is kind of unfair to ask about PoE, right, and only about BDO, right? But like, it does add to the picture, right? So like, if he's still playing after 2.5 months, the hype for the release is gone. He just enjoys playing Throne and Liberty. My point is that he's also playing a lot of Path of Exile 2, right? But how much BDO are you? You're probably under 10 hours, yeah?
He does not get time to play yeah. BDO. I think this week, starting today and tomorrow, he's going to clock in about 15 hours, only almost explicitly.
I mean, right after
he's gotta be ready for next week's question.
We'll be doing boss splits after this, right?
Yeah, we're doing boss splits. Yeah, yeah. Jay and I have boss splits today and tomorrow for about 15 hours. So.
Okay. All right.
He's
so going to
be pumping
10.
Those numbers up, okay?
Blonde, same question. How much have you, although you don't play TNL, so I'm going to ask you, what have you been
How
playing lately?
RuneScape.
Yeah, I was going to say Runes. You've been playing yeah. RuneScape lately?
I played 20 hours of PoE.
Okay.
I've played a lot of RuneScape because the leagues have been out for about 2 weeks. So I'm like literally non-stop playing RuneScape because it's like a limited time event. It's like seasonal content, similar to like PoE's type stuff. BDO, I think I've only logged in for the boss splits. I haven't really grinded all this week, but I've also been really busy with IRL stuff. Like all weekend I went to the theme parks and was doing stuff with family, so I like literally the only time I've been home I've been playing PoE and RuneScape, because I'll be doing the boss splits like I did them last week, and then I'm gonna be doing them today and tomorrow with my 2 days off. So
okay, but it is yeah. definitely taking away from your BDO playtime and probably will for the foreseeable future, at least for now.
So this is my issue. I think that it can be really healthy to have like seasonal games like PoE and, for example, RuneScape's leagues where it's out for 1 or 2 months of the year. I think that those game modes are healthy. I think the idea that people... Maybe not the idea. The concept that like BDO is the only thing you should play or main your time or lowering your time playing BDO is a bad thing, I don't think is necessarily fair, because like the way the game's designed is that you can always go back to it after you've caught up or been relevant or whatever. And I think that because of a lot of the updates over the last year or two of BDO having a million catch-up mechanics, having the pity systems, having the free stuff, having the black stars, I think the game is now like literally giving you the ability to take time off of the game and play other stuff. And I think that that's an okay thing and that's fair. I would like, as all of us have exclaimed many times in the previous podcast, if there were more things to do, like cool, you know, the 7, 8s, and 9s of the boss thing, or the 8, 9, 10 of the boss things, or if there was just more random stuff to do with your gear. I think we all unanimously agree on that. I don't think there's anybody that says, no, I don't want more content in BDO. But I think that the game giving you ample room to like go and explore other things is like totally fine too. Especially for the people like us who are like, you know, we're playing it nonstop for years, and now it's like, mm-hmm. Now we have like a sort of break in time. And I think the casual players are also feeling that sort of break comparatively. I have a lot of friends who are like, yeah, they're going to take time off to play another game because like they, you know,
aren't having fun because
they
can.
I mean, I don't think you should have to live on the game to want to enjoy it. But I think we can all agree, as we've talked about before, the player base is declining. But, you know, you've got Throne and Liberty launch, you have PoE launch. And for those who play RuneScape, you've got RuneScape's leagues launch. And that's not to mention like the hardcore WoW servers coming back.
But my point is
the fresh launch. I think it's just hard to be like, hey, like, why is this still going down when it's like there's so many games to be playing right now? I don't know how you would be playing BDO right now. How would you choose BDO? Hold on, pause. How would you choose BDO over all these games that have like a FOMO launch or a limited access, or the way that Throne and Liberty is designed is you have to live on that game, or leagues in RuneScape or leagues in PoE or whatever have a limited time. You're not going to get it. But BDO, you can always come back to. You can come back in a year and continue to do whatever kind of content you want. I think that it's so... It would just be an impossible decision to be like, yeah, I'm going to be choosing BDO over all these games even though they're only out for like a month. Like, that's crazy, right?
I think that is, respectfully, I will disagree, because I think in the past that we have always had these choices to go play other games and stuff. No, it's different. See, Lost Ark came out, New World has come out, all of these other games have come out. They've gone, but the BDO player base remains relatively
New World
neutral,
sucked. Right? Lost Ark sucked after the first few months to a year. Okay, those games are garbage.
Well,
maybe there's some actually good games coming out to compete against.
Are we going to say that
Throne of Liberty sucks balls, but it's got a lot of good PvP, which is what people want.
Stop it. But my point is, there will always be these other games, but the difference was, in the past, we would always come back to BDO, and you would see the research, like the players would return, and everyone would keep playing BDO full-time. We were always there.
True.
Right? And this time, we're not seeing the players return again, because when they get tired of that new game, right, when they get tired of Throne and Liberty, they're not coming back to BDO, they're going to play RuneScape.
Yeah, they went to go play RuneScape and PoE, because those came out right after. You don't have a choice.
Well, there's always going
to
be another game. Hold on. There will always be another game.
That's true. There could be. There could always be another game. And there have been some games, it's like, you know, New World was like, okay, that was cool, but we realized it was like actually kind of boring and sucked. Same thing with what was the other game that came out that we were just talking about? I just think that it's okay if we have an extended break of BDO, especially while they're needing to develop content, especially when we are talking about like how there's nothing to do and, you know, it's all just the same. It's like, good, this gives them time to see the player base decline, them hunker down and get in their global labs and make some cool updates and then come out with something for us to freaking do. I mean, personally, I think the boss was just one of the coolest things that I've actually had to functionally push for to do, and that's, I think that's a big motivator for me, and if it's not for you, then that's fine. I mean, not everybody's got to be into it, but now's the time where they got to hunker down and just go hard into it. And I think that looking at the player base numbers at an obvious downturn, at an obvious point of the game, where how could they compete with PoE2? I don't think anybody can compete with PoE2. That game caters to so many people that have been waiting years and years for a Diablo 2 remake or a PoE1 redo. It's geared towards so many generational gamers over the last 20 years. There's no way to compete against it. And then I think that Throne of Liberty was just a convenient PvP game for the 2 months before it came out. And for the people that want to stick on it, that's fine. But I just think it's impossible to try and compare. No one in their right mind would ever go back to BDO if you are a hardcore PoE fan or if you actually really like the PvP
stuff
in BDO.
At all.
I think that you can always go back to the style of grinding and the casualness of BDO if there's too much pressure in Throne and Liberty, because I totally see that. There's friends that are like literally nonstop playing and they can't get enough, and the one day they take a break, they're like, I'm so far behind, I might as well quit. I think that pressure is insane, but some people can keep up with it. And then when it comes to PoE, they're going to enjoy the launch. Then once they've done their build, maybe played a few characters, they'll take a break, and they're going to wait for the season every time it comes out. They're going to come back, do the seasonal content, go back and forth. I think BDO can be like that, but the way the BDO is designed is that it's not like they have the seasonal stuff for your season character where you level up and you've got the boosts and all that stuff. But like, that's not truly how BDO is. BDO's quote unquote seasons of content is just whenever we get content updates. You play it for a month, it's cool, it's new, and then you get off of it when you got your thing or your goal.
I would disagree. I think that BDO does a remarkably good job of like, yeah, you get new content, but you always play between the content. It's different than the other girls. It's different than the other MMOs.
Sure, you can. You can, right? If you got nothing better to do, I think.
Well,
and BDO has done a good job of being the most fun thing. The combat has always been fun. The graphics are really good. There's a million perks to BDO. It's really hard to compete and beat. But I think that, you know, right now it's a tough choice. You've got so many other games right now that are just like, oh man, I've been waiting for this for years, for about as long as BDO has been out, for this to come out. So like, I'm obviously going to choose that. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, the point here is that I think that you can play PoE2 hardcore and have BDO, like, you're basically half and half, and that's why people choose to play them all the time. The point here is that I think that people are going to be choosing their second game. I think that PoE has kind of cemented itself. I think that those players, which is a lot of BDO players, play Path of Exile. That's kind of cemented itself. They're not going anywhere on PoE, right? Now, they can keep playing BDO alongside PoE. It's not like Throne and Liberty where you have to invest all of your time into it. Now, for now, sure, because it just launched. But I think that once it kind of settles down a little bit, it'll go back to that seasonal thing where they release a thing and then everybody plays and then and then you move on and then you wait for the next thing to come out. But I think that my point in all this is that I think that people are realizing that they're just going to go play other games instead of BDO. I think that Path of Exile will still always be that choice for them because it's making correct decisions on its game. But I think that there are new games that are coming out that are basically just replacing BDO for a fair amount of players, whether it be the PvP player base replacing it with Throne and Liberty, or we have Crimson Desert coming out soon that should replace it for some of the RP players in the community. Path of Exile 2 gives BDO a hard run for its money in terms of progression and feeling like your grind means something, right? Like I think that, I mean, one of the new players in my chat just said that, like, well, I don't really understand what I'm supposed to be grinding for, so like it's kind of hard for me to keep logging in. And that's kind of discouraging to hear, because like I think that our new player experience is still, I think that's the thing that we're still clinging to as a community, right? Like the new players and the mid game players should be still having a great time, right? It's the end game players that are kind of just like, they're cruising, they're like 720, 750 gear score, and they be cruising. So they're playing some PoE on the side, and they got BDO open all the time in the background. Those are the players that I think BDO is kind of losing its grasp on overall, is the veteran players. And like, I'm not sure with all of these game releases coming out and giving players other options, whether it be the PvE players going to PoE or the PvP players going to TNL, I'm not sure that if the ball goes poorly that we're going to be able to see those players continually choose BDO as like their other game that they want to spend all their time on. It's just my point. Like before, people stayed with BDO because it was best in genre, combat and graphics, and like the PvP was like second to none. Now they're starting to get, they're scratching these itches in some of these other games as it's been 10 years and BDO's kind of going the wrong way. So like, I think a lot of players are starting to like let go, you know? And if the ball goes poorly, I'm not a partner, so I'm allowed to say this. You guys aren't allowed to say this. But like, I think if the ball goes poorly, we are going to see players let go for these other games.
Yeah. I think it's obvious that PA messed up and stepped in the wrong direction when they fundamentally changed the decking system and open world PvP, and when we had a group of griefers who were basically fundamentally changing the way we viewed that and shaped the community's view on some things. I think PA definitely took the wrong step when it came to that, and I think it's royally messed up their game for good. I don't know if adding or fixing that back or just doing that would even bring players back. I don't know. I don't know any player that's like, oh man, as soon as they bring decks back, I'm finally ready to log in. I think that there's so many compounding problems on top of that with gear balance, with class balance, with other stuff, that I think that like it'll always be a moving goalpost for people to make excuses as to why they can't come back to the game. People will say, ah, well, the decking system's gone. Okay, well, they bring it back. Ah, well, the balancing sucks. This class is still too OP. Okay, okay, they fix that. Well, they will never fix that, first of all. Oh, well, I'm waiting for the Node War change to come out. Well, they can't seem to figure out exactly what type of Node War system they want to do, so like it doesn't ever really come back. I just don't ever think that all players will be satisfied with a staple update. I think there's, like I've said before in the past, and there's too many people that have a particular version of the game or a particular vision of the game that they like and they want it to be, and I just don't think it'll ever go to what each individual player specifically wants for the game. I think it's just impossible. I don't think it's possible.
Well, we had Steve in the chat that said BDO is still the best MMO for combat and the haters, and I would say that he's not wrong, but that's why we're all upset. It's because, of course, it's still the best MMO for combat. We just have nothing to use that combat on anymore, and that's why everyone is upset. And I would be honest, I think that you misidentify where the slide kind of started. Yeah, a lot of people look at the open world deck changes as like the first domino, and that was a problem. It was, but like, we didn't really see the player base slide off when they made the one-sided deck changes. That nobody really left the game. The player base held steady when they made those changes. It wasn't until we saw the Node War changes come through, and then the Node War changes compounded with one-sided decks really kind of destroyed the fabric of the PvP scene as we know it, and basically discouraged guilds from fighting each other. And they've already said multiple times that they are not going to allow one-sided decks back into the game. It does not matter. So at this point, all guilds can really hope for is another Node War rework that is actually good and made by the players, and an open world PvP complete rework. Like this consensual deck shit is for the birds. We need a complete rework of open world PvP to encourage guilds to come out and fight each other and beef with each other. Right.
I don't know. I feel like when it comes to the Node War system, it's like people that are playing the game, they're just not doing Node Wars or participating, or they are. I don't know. I mean, and this may just be the circles that I'm in. I've never particularly talked to someone who's like, man, I can't wait for the Node War changes to be like this thing, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to have so much fun. I've never ever heard that. I've heard people say, oh man, when there's a new goal to grind for, or when there's a new thing to push, like I've seen people talk about that, and it's like, oh okay, like, you know, they're running out of gear goals for people that are grinding nonstop or whatever, but or like people that want to grind a new treasure item, they're waiting for the new thing to come out or something like that. But it could just be the circles. I mean, I've never seen anybody like, oh man, as soon as they fix this, I can't wait to come back and play. I like the concept. I would love to believe that that's happening. I just don't see it.
I see a crazy amount, but I publish a lot of YouTube videos, so maybe you don't.
I know
see
there's people upset about it. I read the comment section. I know there's people upset about it. I 100% agree with that. I just don't think anything's ever going to be like if they're busy playing another game right now, then I don't see them ever pushing back because of an update. But I also, if they're still playing BDO and they're just upset about the system and they want to do it, but they're not going to until it's better, I just feel like they're never, ever going to go back to it. And it could just be me being super pessimistic, because I feel like, again, everybody's going to complain about everything and nobody's going to actually care about content or update changes. But, I don't know. It could just be that. But I think it's someone said this in the chat, the social apparatus of the way that we would interact that would lead to Node Wars, that would lead to open world systems, that would lead to players interacting with each other. It's a stemming system that goes all the way from top to bottom, where like, because we don't have players interacting in the open world, we're not creating guild drama. This guild drama doesn't then lead into Node Wars or lead into Siege. Like, I remember some of the biggest things about motivating people to come on or doing all calls for GVGs and stuff was because of Node Wars and Sieges and the decks where you'd have like 20,000 kills versus 30,000 kills and you're always trying to catch up. I remember about, you know, trying to take over Sakraya on Arsha back in the day with guilds fighting guilds down there. I think that being gone eliminates some of the motivation for players just to play. I knew players that just would log in just to, you know, sit there and int on the score or whatever. You know what I mean? That doesn't exist, like, at all. And that whole apparatus being gone because of the open world system, you know, basically being nothing, I think eliminates that whole entire portion of the game that's, like, motivated to do that. I think players were motivated to get gear because they could go pwn the next player, and now that's not even happening, right? Like, that doesn't even matter.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's the competitiveness. The funny thing is, PvE players talk all the time about how they hate PvP, blah, blah, blah. But, like, here's the thing. In a sick way, and I've said this before, it motivates them. The open world PvP is what motivated a lot of players. The threat of open world PvP motivated a crazy amount of players to actually play the game and like go grind for like countless hours. And now that that threat is gone, ironically enough, as much as they hated PvP before, they're kind of finding less and less of a reason to kind of log in and actually play the game. So like, I think that something absolutely needs to be done. I think that they can't just keep going down this path and expect the player base to be okay with it from a PvP standpoint. And I think that if this is the way they want to go with their game, sure, they're just going to watch it kind of like decline over the next few years. And it's possible that they just accepted that because they did announce that Crimson Desert is now going to be, they've changed it. It's now going to be a live service game instead of just a one-time purchase. It will be, when it comes out, it will be a single player one-time purchase game. And then they're going to transition it into kind of Grand Theft Auto style servers where like people can play together, and it'll be an open service game and a live service game. And I think that the reason that they're doing that is because they're realizing that BDO is failing. And like that's just the brutal truth. Now I will say that China has been wildly successful for them, and so but I think that they will ride on that success for the next few months to maybe a year as China starts to trickle down a little bit. But yeah, I'm not sure how like long term China's going to be able to kind of sustainably play the game. I think they have the new Node War system, and people are saying that they have one-sided decks, but I don't think that they actually do, because China does not allow players to be PvP. It's like in their laws. You can't open world PvP another player non-consensually. I don't even know if there's flagging in the game. I'm not sure. But yeah, they are. We'll see. We will see. But either way, we have kind of run out of time here. Jay, I know you didn't get to talk a whole lot there. Did you want to add anything?
You're good. Well, I was going to, like, when we were talking about like reworking Node Wars and stuff, and like that's going to be, you know, the thing that's going to bring people back. I'm just like, I was like thinking in my head, how could they do that? I was like wondering, maybe they could incorporate. So, you know, we did War of the Roses, which was like 300v300. I'm like, what if there's like a smaller scale version of War of the Roses, but for Node Wars, where you incorporate some of the PvE elements? Maybe that's a direction they could go. But yeah, I'm just, at this point, I'm just throwing out ideas of how they could rework the Node Wars, because, you know, again, you mentioned that that was the sliding point, right? Was when they changed the Nora system. So I'm wondering, maybe that could bring people back. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Calpheon Ball. Woo! December 15th, guys.
Woo! Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're gonna be playing bingo. I'm streaming it. You guys should be streaming it. We're all gonna be streaming it, and it's going to be a little nutty. It's gonna be crazy. I'm giving like the unfiltered view. It's gonna be nuts. But either way, let's do some closing thoughts and wrap it up here. We talked about PoE, talked about the ball, we talked about how important it is this year. Blonde, you want to give your closing thoughts on everything and how much fun you're having not playing BDO?
Closing thoughts, PoE's fun. Woo.
There it is.
Yeah. Except, hold on, there's no spin to win. What the fudge? How do you release a game where there's no spin to win? Oh my god, I'm so tilted.
Yeah, I thought there was a spin to win.
Not on Warrior. I got a shield. It's dumb.
You got a shield? Oh, I see. Well, yep, same. Yep. PoE 2, and I like to party. Yep.
And I like
you
to
can find
party.
Me on twitch.tv/JakeandVTV before the T. We'll be doing some boss splits after this.
There it is, Blonde. True. Blonde, you didn't give yourself a shout out, did you?
Oh, twitch.tv/BlondeBear.
There it is. Yeah, twitch.tv/BlondeBear. Good. Excellent. Okay, yeah. And as always, you can find me at twitch.tv/YoFamSteve. I put out two new YouTube videos every day, so check that out. It's pretty sick. We're always on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. I want to say a big shout-out to all of our viewers, especially the ones that, you know, listen to us every week on Spotify. I know you're getting your year-end, like recap things, like your most-watched podcast being the Old Moon Podcast is pretty cool for us. We find that really cool. And if you have a Twitch recap, I recommend you share it with your creators in the BDO space. From all of us here at the Old Moon Podcast, make sure you comment on the video so we know what to talk about next week. We love you guys. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.